We did not sing on eagle's wings either of our hymns this morning. But after the Super Bowl last week, I was wondering, should we have sung on eagle's wings? I don't know if that's politically correct or not. I didn't have a dog in that fight, but I was just thinking how much we could have done that. Do you know good storytellers? Some families, some people are really good storytellers, and some people are not good storytellers at all. My mom and dad were both good storytellers, so I hope that I got that from them. But my dad could take and spin a yarn and walk you into it, and it just, he knew how to just build it just exactly right, and so he was good at that. I have some friends who cannot tell a story and tell especially a fun, humorous story, even if you write it out for them ahead of time. There are a few people like that. So I don't know which one you view yourselves to be. Is it something that you're gifted with or an innate skill or is it learned? I don't know. The reason I bring that up is the Gospels. Do you remember there are four Gospels? Do you remember what they are? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You remember those? Okay. We think that Mark was written first. He reported what happened. That's Mark's gospel. If you pay attention to it, you don't have the words of Jesus. You don't have anything fleshed out. We don't have much about the birth narrative. We don't have a lot of interpretation of what happened at the cross. Mark is just, he's a good reporter. Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. But today we listen to Luke, the Sermon on the Plain. How many of you have heard of the Sermon on the Mount? Okay, this is the same thing, but you see, Matthew just has this, he's a great storyteller. It's going to be a little bit grander because he tells it from this mountaintop, you see. It's the same thing. We call it the Beatitudes. Do you know why it's called the Beatitudes? Blessed be this, blessed be that, the Beatitudes. John, is he a good storyteller? I think actually some of the greatest stories are in John, but they are about a whole different purpose. They're about saying why Jesus is and who he is and his divinity. It doesn't talk about the virgin birth. You remember Mary and the baby and the in the manger and Joseph and none of that's in John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that came into being in the beginning was with the Word, and the Word, Jesus Christ, with God, one and the same. So John is teaching us theologically about who Jesus is and how that is all about that. What about Jesus? Was he a great storyteller? Now think about that a minute. Think about, have you ever heard of a parable? In this gathering, I would hope that some of you have heard some parables. How many parables did Jesus teach? It's a trick question. The answer can range anywhere from 25 to 50, depending upon how you classify a parable and where you, how you define all of that and put it together. But think about some of the parables of Jesus. What's your favorite parable? The one society knows the most probably the Good Samaritan. Intriguingly, most people know what a Good Samaritan is. Colorado has a Good Samaritan law. Did you know that? If you're in some situation, there's been an accident, and you come across someone and you try and help them, and you do your best, regardless of what that is, you cannot be sued because you're trying to be a good Samaritan. There were cases where people tried to help someone and inadvertently did something. They get sued, and it made people not want to help. So Colorado has the Good Samaritan law, and it's about someone taking care of somebody else. But they don't know the whole story about the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans were despised and outcast, and you don't associate with, and he is the one that cares for the man who's been robbed and beaten and left naked in the ditch. So that's one of the parables. Think a minute again. I'll give you just a couple seconds to think about other parables and what your the prodigal son, that was my number two. How about that? The prodigal son, and that's another one that's kind of, some people get that all, they think the prodigal son is the favorite son, but the prodigal son is the one that goes off and squanders his inheritance on dissolute living. I love that word. I think it's the only place I get to use the word dissolute. Dissolute living. Some of us know what that is. Some of us are aware. We won't go down that path too far. I think the parable of the mustard seed ranks right up there. If you have faith as much as even the seed, the little tiny seed, you have a lot of faith. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man and Lazarus. He went by him every day, coming in and feasting, and Lazarus starving and ill. And the rich man, he doesn't go up, he goes down. And he says, Lord, let me tell my brothers and warn them that they need to be good or they're going to end up here in hell with me. And no, they have the law and the prophets to teach them. The word is out there. You know what you should be doing. They know what they should be doing. Everybody knows care and compassion. The rich man and Lazarus. What are the others? Think about that and think about your favorite ones and how Jesus told these stories. He was a good storyteller. And those stories become pivotal to the ethos of our ethics, how our nation is and what we believe and who we are and whose we are. And sometimes they become eroded and we need to be careful and watch for those. Care for the sojourners, those foreigners in our land who've come, who are escaping persecution. Remember, Jesus and Mary and Joseph had to flee to Egypt when Herod sought to kill Jesus. And care for the sojourners. Anyway, today we're, Diana read the Sermon on the Plain. It isn't on a mountain like Matthew had it, but it's pretty good. It's on the plain and the Beatitudes and the woes and the blessed bees and wonderful things. Blessed be. Those who are hungry now will be filled. Those who are hungry, those who are poor will, those who are hated, those who are sad. And Jesus isn't telling us to try and be that. One might read that and say, well, if I'm going to be blessed, I should be hungry and I should be poor and I should be sad all the time so that I'll be happy. That's not the parable at all. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's simply speaking that they are blessed, those who are afflicted, those who are less fortunate. There is another facet to that that we need to be aware of, and that is in Jesus' time, if anything went wrong, if you were sick or if you were poor, it was because you had sinned and God did not bless you. God was punishing you. You see, that's why when somebody sneezes, what do we say? God bless you, to try and cast out that sin, which is the sickness, you see. If you're blessed by God, then you won't be ill. You could say it in German, Gesundheit, but the same thing. It's that idea that all illness is because we're bad. And so here are those people who are sad or hungry or poor. And Jesus is saying, no, blessed be those because they will be filled and they will laugh. There is Jesus's clear beatitudes, how to be, who to be, and where to be. And they don't stand on their own. They stand in the Hebrew tradition. The Hebrew laws call for care of those who are less fortunate. You don't, if you're a farmer, you don't pick all of your crop. You leave a little bit for the gleaners, those poor ones that will come along afterwards and pick up what's left. There should be some for even those. You take care of those who are foreigners in your land, who are escaping persecution and who need care and love and support. Yahweh, God, has a special place for widows and orphans. Those are people without any, there was no use for them in Jesus' time. If you were a widow, tough luck. No support, no rights, no standing. You were just excess personalities. And the same thing with orphans. You had no place, no ability to even have any rights. And so God reaches out to those who are less fortunate. This sermon on the plain, the Beatitudes stand on the back of that. It's a radical idea that Jesus is talking about, that blessed be those who are not fortunate. Not that they're sinners, but because they will be prospered. God will care for them. God loves them, and we should love them. It is teaching an idea of compassion. Compassion, and that is not a universal idea. I remember meeting with a couple of guys one day. I don't remember what we were doing, but they were talking, and the one fellow says, "Well, I'm not giving up anything of mine. I worked hard for it. I earned it, and it's mine, and I'm not sharing it with nobody nohow. Earned it with my good, hard back, hard working my hands and my back." And I thought about that, and I thought, I'm glad you have a strong back and that you have a land that you can work. God blessed you with those things. God gave you, through God's grace, gifted you with those things to be able to do things. God gifts us with riches to be able to assist others who are in need. God gifts us with telephones to call each other and to text one another. It's the new way of being in care, isn't it? Thinking of you. Did anybody text any other Valentines this last Valentine's Day? I didn't. I should have. What an opportunity. I missed the chance to text someone. Compassion is not something that we come by naturally. Is it an animal instinct to be competitive? I don't know. I have seen both sides of that. I've seen puppies gathered together, and some of them are not compassionate at all. The biggest will pick on the runt. And I've seen other examples of puppies taking care of each other, and dogs raising kittens, and cats raising puppies, and all kinds of interesting things happening there. I don't know how it all works, but I know that we as human beings are called to be compassionate. The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man isn't condemned because he's wealthy or because he has lots to eat. It's because he doesn't use those in care, in compassion. And Lazarus wasting away at his gate. There's another parable about the guest at the banquet. Do you remember that one? Man goes to the banquet Jesus says, if you are gathered, don't take the seat at the head of the table, but instead sit at the foot of the table. Humility. It's going to be kind of embarrassing if you sit at the head of the table and they come up and say, excuse me, this is reserved for somebody important. It's a simple and a little bit humorous bit of being and how we are to be about being people of humility. And it's not something that we as people of the United States do very well. The woe to the false prophets is an interesting one. The very end of that, when Diana was reading that, blessed be all of the blessings, and the woes to those, and the woe to the false prophets. And it has always been the case, according to Jesus, that there are some who will tell the people what they want to hear. They are not speaking for God necessarily, but they are speaking for their own edification, for their own profit, and because they want the popularity. But prophecy may not be welcomed. Sometimes, in fact, speaking God's words of truth is not popular at all. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. So here we have the Beatitudes. Diana read the Old Testament reading. You are aware that was the very first psalm. That's Psalm 1. We don't always get to dive in and know where we are in the psalms. There's a lot of psalms. How many psalms are there? 150? Exactly? You're sure they're not 149 or 151? I'm just in. Lots of psalms out there. Happy are those whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on the Lord's laws they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by a stream of water. They yield their fruit in a season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. It's a simple state of being. Be with the Lord and find the happiness, the joy, the nurture, the growth, and the life, and the vitality. And share that. And I think that's one of those other important, is it a parable when Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Love one another. Love one another. Let's do that. Let's stand on the promises. Stand if you will. Diana's going to lead us. Number 374 in your hymnal on the screen.